Are we humans prepared for all the ways artificial intelligence will change the way we travel, work, and communicate with others? Not yet, but we can be, says AI expert Dr. Raj Ramesh. GLT correspondent Brianna Groh speaks with Ramesh about his upcoming TEDx Normal Talk called How to Think, Transform, and Thrive in the Future.
Computers have been around for a long time, but they're basically good at digital processing and information processing. They can consume a lot of information and spit out the summary or process them effectively. But there's this other aspect of cognitive abilities of the human mind that have not been replicated on computers or AI systems. So on one hand, computers are good at handling digital information, but we humans are good at handling conceptual information. And so if we can bring the two together, that'll be the best of both worlds. I don't think we'll get to incorporating the full range of cognitive abilities that the humans have into computers anytime soon.
Do you think that would, in theory, be possible to have machines get to a place where they can recreate that sort of creative, conceptual thinking of humans?
It is always possible, and it is always difficult to predict the future. And there is no theoretical limit on why that is not possible, but we have to have more than a couple of breakthroughs to get to the point where we truly can make computers better in some sense cognitively than humans. And people have been talking about this point of singularity where the human intelligence will be surpassed by computing intelligence. But the singularity is probably not going to be a single point because there are different aspects of human intelligence that can be surpassed, but not all. And so that's an open question still in the community, and we haven't really pinned down what the singularity is.
Yeah, so that might be far off in the future, if ever. In the meantime, you are focusing on how humans have this sort of creative intelligence and ability. But you also argue that our society isn't doing a great job of teaching people how to harness that, right? So tell me about that.
When kids go to school from kindergarten, we have a natural ability to draw. And that's how we express our thoughts. But school has educated us out of that and have taught us how to read and write and speak, but haven't focused too much on the art of drawing and doodling and these kinds of expressive art. As we learn to read and write or speak, these are linear things, which means that if I read a sentence, I have to have understood the sentence prior to that to be able to understand this sentence, and so on. So it's linear. Likewise is speaking. I have to say one sentence, and then you listen to this next sentence, and so on. But if you take a picture, it's two-dimensional. I can jump from one point to the other without having to go through a linear fashion. And it's a great form to express our mental models so that communication becomes more effective. And this is something computers can't do.
Is this why we see that technology with self-driving vehicles is having difficulty advancing, is that they can't make decisions with visual feedback very well?
It is a complicated problem indeed, because what humans do is humans have this natural ability to look at an object and recognize the object for what it is. When I look at a chair, I see a chair. I don't see the different pixels that make up the chair. A computer, on the other hand, can only see the different pixels and tries to put that information together, and that's why it has problems, because it can be trained to recognize a chair, but it is much more difficult for us to train it to recognize that the chair is meant for sitting, and therefore I can take any surface and use it as a sitting surface. These are human capabilities, but computers do not understand how to recognize that. So they just put together to try to create these concepts, but don't understand the basics behind the concepts or the functionality behind the concepts, which is a major problem. And that's why maybe self-driving cars have a lot of processing to do, because they have to recognize the scene, put together that scene, create a model of that scene inside, and figure out what to do with that scene at every second. or less, or every microsecond, possibly.
Yeah, but this is a skill that we as humans already can do naturally. Why is building this skill important for the future?
We have this, obviously, this natural ability, and we've not exploited it much. And most of us are concerned in some way or the other, either for ourselves or for our kids or for the next generation, that computers might take over our jobs. So this is a really scary thing. So if you want to position yourself at complementary to what computers can do, then I think this is a skill that will not be learned by computers anytime soon, or artificial intelligence by anytime soon. So it is up to us to figure out how to leverage this skill better so we can put ourselves in a better position. I think we should focus on that aspect and leave the drudgery work to computers and artificial intelligence, at least for the near future.
I'm talking with Dr. Raj Ramesh. He's an international speaker and consultant, as well as the chief AI officer at Data Foundry. You were just talking about how there are certain tasks that increasingly are and have been automated by artificial intelligence machines. Can you give me a summary of how that's happened in the past and your predictions about what jobs might be automated in the future?
Sure. In the past, we have used computers to deal with digital information to essentially follow instructions that programmers had given them. So when I, as a programmer, write some code, I'm instructing the computer to do certain things. But now we are moving into a realm where we ourselves do not know how the human brain works. For example, if I recognize your face in a crowd, I can instantaneously recognize that without essentially going through a sequence of steps in my own mind. So therefore, there is this set of problems that we don't know how to quantify, but it so happens that we have figured out a way to train a computer based on lots of data. So if I can give a lot of faces to the computer, it can build a model so that it can recognize those faces. It basically does pattern recognition. This means that whenever there is a pattern to be recognized, that particular task or job can be taken over by machines in the future. But there are many parts of work that do not require pattern recognition or call for something other than pattern recognition. So in the future, if we can learn how to better adapt, then we can be at a better position to complement the strengths of what computers can do. So there are pieces of the job that will not be taken over by computers, or there'll be new jobs that'll be created which require for a higher level of thinking and skills that we should seek.
This is like what we've seen in the medical field, where machines can use pattern detecting to potentially provide diagnostic results from testing or scanning. But you still need a doctor to interpret those results.
That's right. That's right. Because true that machines can look at one X-ray and figure out what the problem is, but it can't look at the human or the patient holistically and understand how something else may be connected with this, may be connected with something else. So it is poorer. Machines are generally poor at connecting different domains. They can work very well, especially in pattern recognition, in a very narrow space. But it's very difficult for them to connect across, which humans, on the other hand, are very good at. They can take disparate things and connect them together and figure out what's going on at a higher level of cognitive ability.
So that skill that you just described of connecting different realms when we're talking about problem solving, that's what you're thinking humans will need, especially to solve some of our bigger problems that we're facing in the future, right? What problems are we going to need that skill to be able to solve?
You could take an example of food distribution in the world and solving world hunger. We don't have a problem as far as food production goes. There is enough food to feed everybody in the world, but it's a distribution problem. We don't know how to get food to the right people at the right time. So that's a huge problem that can be solved by creative thinking and problem-solving approaches. And if we can use some of the computing machinery to help, that would be great. But computers by themselves will not be able to help solve that problem. We as humans have to take the initiative to figure out where human ingenuity will play a role and where computers can play a role.
I was having a look around your YouTube channel, and they all include these doodles that you do. Why is drawing an important part of learning to think creatively?
I think if you look at humans, we're, as I said earlier, we're visual learners. So what happens is that by virtue of drawing something on paper, I'm taking what's my mental model and translating it on paper. And amazingly, this same mental model seems to be going into the minds of the listener and the observer, and they seem to be building the same or similar mental model in their own space. What happens in this process is if it's interactive, there's an exchange of ideas, and we internally adjust each of our mental models and come to some common agreement or pretty close mental models, and that's how learning takes place. And I think that drawing is one of the most effective ways to do that.
You were talking about how other forms of communication are linear, so there's kind of at any point in time a chance for something to be lost in translation or the understanding to not be mutual. But drawing is almost like kind of a telepathy where you see it and my message is communicated to your brain.
That's right, that's right. Because when you write something, when I write a sentence, I do not know how it could be interpreted by you. And there are many ways, the range of interpretations is higher. And if I write a paragraph, that's even higher. And if I write a whole page, that's even higher. And essentially, when I write something, it could be interpreted completely different by you. But with drawing, on the other hand, then the boundaries are a little bit narrower. And I know exactly that you will probably stay within those boundaries and understand the concepts that I'm trying to communicate. And that's why I use drawing as a tool in my YouTube videos. And it seems to be very effective.
For people who want to harness this creative power of drawing and more effective communication, how do you get started and do you have to be an artist?
I don't think you need to be an artist. You can, as I said earlier, we all have natural drawing skills. And these drawings initially can be personal to you. If you draw a box, it's a box. And if you interpret that box as a chair, it's a chair. If you interpret that box as a picture, it is a picture. Whatever it is that you want it to represent, it is yours to claim. So there is no right or wrong with drawing. To get started, I would say you can start out with very simple basic shapes like rectangles and triangles and circles and maybe lines to represent different things. So any object, if you want to draw, for example, a complicated object like a school, then if you can't draw a school, all you need to draw is you need to draw a box and just write school on it, and that becomes a school. You don't have to represent it, replicate it exactly like a school. So it is up to you, and it's very easy to draw things, and you can get comfortable in your own environment where nobody is judging you, because all you are seeking to do is to understand the world around you just by yourself. You don't really care who's going to look at the drawings.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with me about your upcoming talk?
This is the concept that I have been working on for more than 10 years. I just want to spread the word that this is good to know, and you should try it yourself as well, no matter what your area of expertise is. Mine happens to be AI, but it could be in medicine, it could be in plumbing, it could be in any wide variety of topics. So I just believe that drawings totally help us understand the world around us and adapt better.
That's Dr. Raj Ramesh, a TEDx normal speaker, speaking with WGLT correspondent Brianna Groh. This year's TEDx normal event runs from 9 a.m. to noon on November 16th at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts.